Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Joining us on the line, Professor Anthony Turton. He's the professor at the Center for Environmental Management at the University of the Free State. Thanks for joining us this morning. Professor, good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you and the listeners.
So, first of all, can you give us some context? Because most of us, certainly here in Johannesburg, our closest association to fruit is when we go to the store or vegetables, we buy it, we come home, and that's really the last time we think about these pesticides, pollution, and farming. Give us a sense of where we are in South Africa.
Yes, okay. So South Africa is a strange country in the sense that it's got certain peculiar biophysical parameters in which it operates. And what that means is that we have been forced to feed our nation and our economy within a very, very deeply constrained water environment. So we are in a situation where we about 63% plus minus of our total national water budget goes to agriculture, to growing food,
right.
And all of that water eventually finds its way back into rivers and aquifers. There's no question about that. This is an internationally universally accepted a principle of water source management.
Right.
And because we've reached a point in the early part of the century, 2002 plus or minus around about then. We reached a point where we'd allocated all of the available water we had. So effectively, for the last 20 years, we've lost our dilution capacity. Now, in the last century, there was a saying with environmental management that dilution is the solution to pollution. So as long as you could dilute all the nasty stuff out, then, of course, you could get away with it. And then, of course, along came another couple of interesting phenomena. And just to bring something out of left field, we have a situation where, just to give you one example of one of the pollutants, DDT.
Right.
DDT was internationally banned because it is persistent in the environment.
Right.
And that banning happened at a time when we became a democracy, roughly at the same time. And our government at that point in time, flushed with enthusiasm, decided to take on the leadership role in the reintroduction of DDT into society, saying that it was being wrongfully withheld by the developed countries to harm the developing countries. And they then decided to reintroduce DDT or to champion the cause of the reintroduction of DDT, saying that it's not the chemical that's the problem, it's the way it's applied that's the problem. So they pioneered a new way of applying the DDT instead of over large fields and over swamps as it was done before to control malaria. They decided to spray it under the eaves of roofs and on the walls of houses, particularly in your areas where you've got endemic mosquito problems, endemic malaria.
Right.
And this resulted in a very, very sophisticated series of medical tests that were done, or medical trials that were done by the University of Pretoria Medical School, under the leadership of Professor Rihanna Borman, and you might want to get on air if you want to talk directly to the person involved.
Right.
But she found she started reporting now on urogenital birth defects of young children, neonates, newborn children. And if I remember correctly, I think the number she was reporting was something about 7%. Oh, so 7 out of 100 babies being born in that particular in the
right,
area.
where they used this DDT as a
in the Vembe area. Yeah. Okay. And this of course resulted in a huge backlash, a massive backlash, and people said, "Oh no, you can't say that; it's not true," etc. And there was this big pro. Pro DDT lobby in Washington D.C. that got all over the show. Jenny Cruz Williams of 702 ran a program on it, and they phoned in from Washington. And it was a big
story. Right.
But then just recently now, probably a year or so ago, we started seeing reports now of DDT being detected in the Klip River. So the Klip River is not the Vembe area. So now that poses an interesting forensic question.
Yes. Well, how did it get there?
How did it get there? Okay. Now I'm not sure that the science has been done, but one can hypothesize that with the advent of or reintroduction of DDT into South Africa in the Vembe area, there should be a highly controlled item. Are the control measures in place? Yes or no? If not, can they fall into the hands of individuals, and can they therefore be used for domestic purposes inappropriately, in which case it then starts flowing back into the river systems because because the sewage systems in parts of Johannesburg are no longer functional, and the raw sewage flows directly into the rivers. So that is a hypothetical situation, but it's something that is starting to manifest itself empirically now at the moment in South Africa.
So that's really become it, and is that one of our more significant pesticide pollution problems?
No, I would say, look, it's not only pesticide. Pesticide is a subset of the whole thing. And, of course, pesticide use is highly regulated, assuming that you've got a functioning regulatory authority. So if you apply your pesticides the way that that the license conditions say you should apply, then you're probably going to be safe. I mean, that's the whole idea of the regulations. But the question now is, are they being applied? But in my professional opinion, the far greater risk to human beings is not from pesticide use. It's actually from the fact that we're recycling our wastewater in society without appropriate treatment. And from this, of course, you start getting a whole host of issues. And I would argue that probably one of the most significant is estrogen, because we have such a widespread use of estrogen in society. And we know as a matter of empirical fact that estrogen passes through the body only partly metabolized.
Right.
So the fact that we now are effectively recycling wastewater without the appropriate treatment technologies in place, we are seeing what's known as estrogenicity, an increase in the level of estrogenicity in our waters. This is widely reported by many, many reports in the Water Research Commission. You can just Google the word estrogen. You'll see many, many credible peer-reviewed reports coming out on that subject.
Are we taking it seriously in South Africa? I mean, this is what you're involved with. You're taking it seriously. Are enough of us, is government actually looking at this with the right amount of focus?
My personal professional view is that we need to communicate this in a non-alarming way to an informed public. That's what we want to have. Informed debate, an informed public, but we don't want to be alarmist in the way we communicate it. Now, of course, this is a difficult thing to communicate.
Well, I was just going to say it's very difficult because we're also living in a world of outrage and social media hysteria, and that's the last thing you want to do. You actually want to communicate and have a rational conversation, but it's a very hard balance to achieve.
Yes, I agree with you. So that's why I willingly participate in a program like yours, where we can raise the issue and we can hopefully talk sensibly about it.
Right.
The issue of hormones in water is also a global phenomenon. It's not only a South African phenomenon. So it's very much part of a global trend. And it really comes down to the fact that of all of the water on planet Earth, only 2% plus minus is fresh water, and the rest is salt water. And we've reached the limit at global level of that 2% of water. So with the growth in population and with the modernization of pharmaceuticals, et cetera, introduction of birth control and very happy pills and antidepressants, et cetera.
We need to actually take this seriously, absolutely.
All of that ultimately ends up back in the water in some way or other.
And therefore comes back to us. Professor Anthony Turton, I'm sorry, they are gesturing at me from the control booth. It is 9 o'clock. This is all we have time for. I think it's such a fascinating conversation. I certainly would love to continue, but I'm unable to do that right now. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us. Very, very important. What causes pesticide pollution on South African farms? To what extent are we vulnerable? That was Professor Anthony Turton, professor at the Center for Environmental Management at the University of the Free State.